Welcome to the New Earth Architectress, where we'll be exploring together what is an architectress, what is the New Earth, and how is the evolution in consciousness paving the way for your leading role in architecture. I'm your host, Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I'm so excited to share with you what's possible when you lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and your divine calling. If you're a woman architect or designer who's hearing a deep call to take your stand as an ancient temple builder of the future, welcome. Now is the time, and we are the ones. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome everyone to the New Earth Architectress podcast. My name is Aisha Rose Melody Hassan, and I am an architect, alchemical healer, and the creator of the Sacred Blueprint. And I am super excited today to be interviewing fiery and heart-centered and deeply connected architecture. Connected. That's a very kind of broad term, but an architect who's very connected to nature and is also questioning the forms that society has, you could say, built for us or has instilled in us over the last century, maybe even more, and is really questioning the system and looking at ways to really exit the box, exit the norms of architecture, and of course, and the teaching of it as well, conventional teaching practices as well. I am delighted to welcome Robert Jameson from Belfast, from Ireland, to the show. And we actually had an interview before, and this is part two of our interview. We just feel like so much streams through in our conversations, and usually an hour is not enough for all that wants to come forth in our conversations. And so to honor that, we scheduled a second interview. So welcome, Robert. It's great to see you.
Thank you. Yeah. Good to see you too. Yeah. I look forward to our meandering conversation.
Yeah. I also want to just, I just noticed how beautiful the plants are in your space behind you. It's this stunning space that you're in. Are you open to sharing where you are?
This is my, in fact, I'm kind of away from my studio. My studio is kind of in a transition period where I'm kind of remaking a studio in a really interesting rural location. At the moment, I'm in my wife's practice and teaching studio in Belfast, and I guess it's more kind of suited to teaching than it is to maybe these interviews, but it's a great space to be in.
It's a beautiful space.
Yeah. Above and
lots of light. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. There's direct sunlight here is rare. We're gray kind of most of the year, which
right.
is kind of
like, yeah,
you know, another thing we can talk about, but so it's a new space for me, and it has all our kind of like, you know, we get Shiva there.
Yeah, nice. Beautiful.
We've got all our practice, we have our practices, but this is Kate's teaching room, you know, for her Ayurveda and yoga and Vedic astrology and all those things, which are sister sciences to Vashti, which is something that I'm...
Oh, okay.
So,
something that you've studied, right? Vashti. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. I spent, many years studying ancient texts because I was working on a project to design a temple and monastery on an island in Northern Ireland. And so it was totally grounded in Vashti, and it was a really fascinating project, which I'll share with you again. You know, it's an old project. I've got, slides of that project, but it merged the kind of the ancient philosophies and wisdom of temple architecture of India. And in fact, after that project in 2008 and the crash, that's why I got a one-way ticket to India. I bought a
And
motorbike
you were traveling,
to the
yeah, on your
rural,
motorbike, yeah.
to the temples that I'd studied for that project, and I spent years, visiting those temples and sketching and drawing. And but
Wow.
anyway.
And what for listeners who don't know who you are and don't know that story, how did that story shape you as an architect? Just leaving the practice, right? Closing up
Leaving a
and
practice in London, it was, I was my book was being published, I was winning competitions, and then all of a sudden, I got a one-way ticket to India. I hadn't traveled before, so I was traveling as an, with this experience of an architect. So you're traveling in a very different way than you would if you left college or left school. I was heading off, and India was a natural place, and I'd studied the ancient, Indian systems of Vastu Shastra and the buildings, and I explored rural India for the following kind of year, and it was profound, because what the greatest teaching about traveling then was that I was traveling without an agenda per se. So I know I was moving with climate, I was moving with universe, and that was the greatest teaching. Moving without, schedule, or just
meetings,
moving with universe, and what opened up on that journey made me the person I am today. I mean, that was a profound experience.
Wow.
The people I met, I then went on to kind of, I remember I met, I ended up through a meeting. Well, I met Balkrishna Doshi, who was the protege of Le Corbusier and Louis Kahn, who helped build Chandigarh. And he invited me to, spend time in his studio, and I gave a lecture to his staff and on my journey, which was really insightful, because he asked me when I arrived, and even meeting him was a profound experience, because 8 months later, or sorry, 8 months previous, I was at a chai stall in a dusty, market square in a remote village in Rajasthan, and I was playing chess with this Indian man, and I just mentioned I was, Doshi, that I wanted to meet. It was kind of this, I was putting out the universe, and he had a phone in his pocket with his number on it, and he phoned Doshi there, and I spoke to him, and I arranged, because I was traveling with the climate, I arranged 8 months later to travel to his studio. And whenever I traveled and arrived there, first thing he said was, prepare a presentation to my staff on your experience of India as an architect. And that was, and even that, so it wasn't buildings, it was showing
It
images
was the
of,
whole collage, the whole story.
it was the culture. It was the culture of India, and because I was observing India with the architect's eye, so it was about the nuance, or the, how people used space or object, or
Yeah.
so it was a really, I mean, it was such an important time in my journey. And then actually, also in India, I ended up, like 9 months later, after this meeting, sitting in the Japanese bath of Rick LaPlastrier, who, in my opinion, is the greatest architect, living
I don't
architect.
know him. Who's he?
He's an octogenarian now, living north of Sydney, on the Hawkesbury, or in the at the mouth of the Hawkesbury River, and he built himself a what's called Lovett Bay House, or House of
Oh, that
Lovett
sounds
Bay,
familiar. Lovett Bay House.
which is a Japanese inspired kind of plywood platform temple,
Yeah.
small. And he lived there with his wife and his three kids, and it was a single room, and they just rolled out their swags in the evening, and they essentially lived outside. They had a kitchen outside, they had, utilities outside, they had an
Right.
additional space. Anyway, so my point is, it was through, again, journeying in India and allowing the universe to open up and provide, that I ended up. Anyway, so I mean, the stories go on, but it was a very important, in fact, it actually made me who I am today, in
It
the way
just
how I
totally
think about
shaped you,
architecture.
didn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Like with
It,
art.
and what I see when you speak as vision is an unraveling. It's like an unraveling. It's an unfolding that needed to occur. And you use the word often, the uneducating, right? Uneducating, or I'm not sure if you've used that before, but like just this unraveling of what was perhaps, yeah, that what that needed to unfold through you.
Yeah, because
Yeah.
I was so caught
But
up in the
also like letting go, right, of all the
of all the
crap,
conditioning
the conditioning.
of unskilling myself.
Yeah, unschooling. That's what I've uneducating, I said.
Yeah,
Unschool.
unskilling, I mean, getting rid of all that nonsense, even in the schools of architecture, all that nonsense,
Yeah.
all that, that. It's really, talking about schools of architecture, and it's, I mean, it's fascinating. I've been thinking a lot about, schooling and how kids are schooled and what architecture is becoming and all of that. And I think that, yeah, I mean, I don't believe in mainstream education and from primary right through to tertiary education, and because all of it is so weaponized, and we know that, like even like, schools of architecture. In fact, Patrick Schumacher, who's the director of Zaha Hadid Architects, recently posted an essay, 13,000 word essay, talking about, talking about how woke ism has destroyed architecture. And it's a fascinating essay.
Wow, that's
You
pretty
should read it.
bold.
And talking about, but it's the first time an architect of such,
Caliber. Yeah.
has stood up and talked against the education system, because and he's talking about it being kind of focused on, politicizing everything and, climate change and all that,
Right.
and getting away from design, where graduates are coming out as activists instead of architects, and
Right.
activists against what? Like the social, it's just to create divide and all this. It's just,
Right.
it's really fascinating essay. I would recommend reading it,
Yeah, well, please do share that with me, Robert, because I do want to read it, and it feels it's similar. I mean, just in terms of the themes here that are coming through in this moment, to just some things that I've been reflecting on. I have prior, but this is kind of a next level reflection on really actually the dangers of architecture too, and the fact that architecture can be used as a mechanism to brainwash people. Architecture can be used as a mechanism to also, on the energetic level, I'm someone who is reading the energetics of place, right, through the Sacred Blueprint System and through my trainings in geomancy and continued studies in geomancy and investigations, because I think that energies are actually shifting very much in the world today, and we cannot be measuring energy or actually even doing the practices that were prior designed. A lot of them just don't fit anymore. The energetic practices, this is what I'm noticing, because we're evolving and Mother Gaia, Mother Earth is evolving. But what also can happen is energy can also be used as a material for black magic. And architecture, even very so-called beautiful architecture, can be used to propagate certain information. Because it what happens is when you're at like a power place, for example, at an ancient site, I guide women architects and land stewards to my VIP retreat, to the ancient city of Ephesus in my VIP retreat program. And we tune in to power spots and amazing energies there in the earth. But what can dangerously happen is if you're wanting to propagate a thought or you're thinking a thought, that can actually kind of grow bigger and expand when you're standing on a certain spot. And that's something that I don't advise my clients to do or experiment with, but it's a kind of phenomena that you get familiar with. You notice, oh, right. Think of the Vatican, right? I mean, it's using golden proportions. It's using, right, is it St. Peter's Square, right, next to the Vatican? And I'm not saying it's all bad. Please, this is not any kind of political statement or anything. I'm coming at this from a very neutral observer standpoint, but I'm just looking at architecture around the world and how it's been used to propagate a certain political agenda, to propagate a certain ideology. And before I was like more just looking at the aesthetics, the shape of the building. It's like, okay, is this brutalist? Okay, it's telling us we have power and blah, 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 blah. But then when you weave the energy behind it, it kind of gets like, oh, like, whoa, you can really, through the proportions of space, spread a message, right? But it's our responsibility to be very wise in how we spread that message. Is this resonating with you, Robert?
Well, it is because I think that it's important to understand that feeling, the feeling self, right? And in my manifesto we talked about in the last podcast, which is Know Thyself, I've been thinking about the essence of any school of architecture is firstly to know thyself and know the world that we live in. Okay. Because then only when you do that and you realize, I mean, and this is a realization, I mean, I'm now in my 50s and it's a realization that I've had, only kind of in the last number of years, where, it's important that, our energies, okay, or we need to kind of take care of this vessel. Which is our body, our body's health that takes us through on this journey, right? And I think, as you what you're talking about is, I guess, schools of architecture it can easily influence, okay, impressionable minds, and they're teaching a system, which is very formal and very ordered, okay, which is goes back to the the seat of Western civilization, and I guess. Just, I mentioned earlier Rick DePlaster and his teaching in Japan and what they create and essentially what architects understand to be resonant, how to design on the earth in Australia, for example, which hasn't been influenced so much. It is about touching the earth and about the energies of the earth, and I think that that's why I look to the likes of those places beyond the West to see what architecture really is without it being so corrupted and weaponized by our own education system, And that's why, even whenever I look at a wonderful architects or architects that inspire me. I look at the ones in Chile or the ones in Japan or, because they are thinkers and they're thinking in a free way, And this got me onto actually, I was saying earlier, I spent 3 weeks with the family in France and I was barefoot and, it was touching the earth every day and outside at sunrise, we were doing our practices and, it made me realize that coming back here and then wearing shoes and things like that, which I mean, I'm not wearing shoes at the moment. I try and wear shoes as little as possible. And I still go out on the grass and the wet grass in the morning, even in the rain, to do my practices while I can, But I think it's important to get grounded and to organize self energy of self. So then we can have be in a position to think about where we are. In relation to the universe, in relation to each other, and then what architecture is. And what I realized, and it's something that came to me many years ago when I was working with ayahuasca, and I work with many plant medicines, and it came to me, but I have historically, I had, my lungs have been my weak points, I used to smoke, when I was, smoking a lot, abusing myself, right? Abusing the body, the vehicle, and that's why I guess just to go on a tangent, this idea of loving thyself,
Oh.
which is a bit odd, or it has been my entire life, is to love this and look after this. It's not an ego thing, love thyself. It's actually just take care of your body and your mind will take care of itself, right? So whenever you
Writing
do
this
that,
down.
and I think about architecture, and I think about I want to touch the earth. I want to touch the earth every day, all day. And the way to do that in this climate is to have a transparent shelter and have a garden with a transparent shelter. And this came to me a number of times on retreat and meditation, and I talked about it before, maybe about the
Your
you know.
vision for, what you received actually when you were on, I don't know if we could say trance state or, you
No,
receive, or
just
maybe not, maybe it
connecting
was,
with universe, you know, but it's about this transparency that kind of allows the light, because we need the light and touching the earth, and that's what we need to kind of heal ourselves. So when we talk about healing architecture,
Oh
it's
God, I could, I just thought about something.
but for me, it's not about necessarily about these systems, you know, the goals, you know, all these, you know, like, you know, systems that are part of our Western education, because what we're creating there is formal architecture for the most part. And when you look at Rudolf Steiner, he looked at this loosely, but he created a non-orthogonal environment. And I think what's really interesting is, you know, and this came from a great, you know, kind of Vashtu, actually a Ayurvedic doctor, Western doctor, who is the only doctor I think allowed to practice in India, Western doctor allowed to practice in India. But he said that Vashtu and all those formal kind of, you know, theories, they are all what superseded by the feeling of self, right? But you need to have your body in a place or in a way of, you know, you need to be totally connected to the universe to actually be able to listen and connect and hear the messages to be guided through universe, you know. And I think, you know, even talking there about being an Indian traveling without an agenda, it was almost like in meditation, because when you're meditation, you
You're
download.
connected.
You know, so and therefore I think healing architecture really is that architecture that touches the ground. And there's a great Japanese architect, Shinohara, who
He
created
sounds
a
familiar.
yeah who created a house in the mid 20th century, but it was called the earth floor house, or the mud floor house. So one of the rooms in the house is the earth. Is the earth, and you're touching the earth. There's no separation. There's no material.
It's not any kind of like polished or
No.
anything. So
Well,
bugs and stuff like worms can come out.
no, it is. Of course, it is
Oh,
flat
okay.
polished,
Just
but
wondering,
it is
like,
touching.
really, is it here?
No, it is
Is it
touching the earth.
tampered? Like tap?
Yeah, like traditional, you know, architecture is, you know, without these other layers of insulation and da da da, the kind of separates.
That's absolutely beautiful. And when you talk about this vision that you have of this transparency, I mean, a lot comes up. The reason why I was chuckling was because, like Bill Gates wants to block out the sun, and it's
He
like,
did it for years.
great, but what you're talking about is a kind of transparent shelter where you do get the sun in, you're connected to the earth. But are you actually visioning something that has no physical walls? Is it like a
Well,
skin? Are
I
you thinking kind of like Buckminster Fuller vibes? Like,
think are great. Yes, I'm
I mean,
thinking.
I want to get back into, even after our last episode, once summer is done and my child is back in school next week, I do want to dive into his books again.
Yeah, I mean, what's interesting about Buckminster Fuller is about his work on energy, you know, and his calculations. Everything was calculated. Everything was a calculation of energy, you know, and whether it's worth doing it, whether an idea is worth the energy, and it's all my mathematical calculated.
Is it worth it?
You know, the book Synthesis, I think it is. But he this idea of a transparency. I mean, I've been looking at this for a current project, because it's, you know, really to build now in this part of the world. I'm not sure what it's like there, but in this part of the world, to build a traditional, like scale of a building, a home,
Right.
is astronomical in cost, right? The building
Oh,
cost is
yeah, it's increasing quite a lot here for the Turkish lira as well. Like, we're just like, what? Yeah.
right. So it's
Yeah.
not affordable for most people. So there has to be alternatives. And the alternatives, I think, first of all, we need to kind of sidestep the planning system and sidestep building control and think about other ways of living, right? Because
Right. The
we're stuck in
loopholes.
these,
Yeah.
well,
Or
not so much. I think we just need to stand up
just
and
buy.
say, you know
Yeah.
what?
Yeah. Yeah.
I've had enough, right?
Right.
And let's kind
Right.
of find a way to do this. Like, because I think,
Right.
I mean, we're in a war, right? I mean, after, like, we're in this kind of like, well, I've been on for a while. Like, everyone's weaponized our food, everything. Like, we've talked about this before, everything. So is are all these systems that prevent us from living how we want to live, right?
Right. Right.
Banking,
You know,
building,
these,
all of
yeah.
building control is driven by insurance companies, essentially, right?
Right.
And then of course this increase in costs of things is just again a way of suppressing and destroying the middle class and all that there, right? Because they want to get us into, this kind of system of,
I don't know, like
you own
universal
nothing.
income,
Yeah,
plug yourself into the system,
all
have
that, all
smart
that,
homes,
all that. And we have to
fully
get
digitalized or
all that.
digitized rather, electrified.
And most people
Electrified.
are up for it. Yeah, like they are electrified,
They
like
are electrified, yeah.
they are. Most people, most people,
Petrified, electrified.
but most people are up for it and think it's a good idea.
Yeah,
Whereas,
yeah.
and like, but it's only about it's those people who are kind of totally locked in the system and the social media and all of that thing, that are in that world of mainstream that they're locked in it, and that's fine. Maybe they're happy and that's okay, and they probably are happy. But I think when you start to see, what's going on and start to really open up to it, then it's about what do we do for our fellow, brothers and sisters, our families? Like, how do we help them? Because what's happening here is just a total control mechanism is being put in place, which includes the increase in cost of housing. So it prevents us from doing anything. We're just paying
Yeah.
more taxes, and we need, and there, I mean, there's gonna be a revolution. Like there, ha I mean, I don't know what it was like in Turkey, but I'll tell you what, Europe is a mess. It would seem like when you look at Germany and again France and Spain, and the
Yeah.
UK, Ireland. Northern Ireland seems to be a wee bit kind of in between, and we're always in a number of years after mainland UK, but it's all like going in one way, and like we've been talking about this for years, and it's still going that way, and people are going, oh, well, is it? And they're just kind of brushing it aside, but that includes so I guess in terms of like architecture, we need to
Yeah,
think
like going back
ways
to
of
that
living,
transparent, like
right?
really what are you seeing is like, am
So.
I, because what I'm seeing is like really like a gelatinous, like I'm thinking more future architecture.
Yes.
So it's
Well, I think
very, it's a very interesting substance. It's the, but it, you're saying it's transparent. So like, what are we, do we not have any privacy from each
well,
other
okay.
or what,
So
how does that work?
think biosphere, think Eden Project in the UK. Think about, a project which uses these, ETFE membranes. So it's
Yeah.
very lightweight, which means little structure. It could be geodesic. It doesn't need to be, but
Yeah.
essentially it's just a shelter, but it's
Yeah.
transparent. Now, I was listening. There's a great guy called Dr. Jack Kreush, okay? He's a Bitcoin maximalist, right? He lives in El Salvador, and he is a brain sur a neurosurgeon, okay? And he was Jack Dorsey's neurosurgeon. That's why he
Is
wasn't.
he, does he, does he research mind control? No. No, this is something else. Okay,
His
this is
focus
something else.
is on light, okay?
Okay.
And recently he came out and spoke about, I mean, he's known in all the, in all these circles. And as I say, he wasn't cancelled on Twitter because he was Jack or an Ek on Twitter because he was Jack Dorsey's neurosurgeon, right? So he
Okay.
was allowed to speak freely, but he lives in El Salvador because he's a Bitcoin, guy. And he talks about how now architectural glass. Okay, so he talks about red light and blue light, and these screens are destroying us, not because of what we look at, but because of the light,
Yeah,
the
yeah.
blue light. And we need red light for healing. And that's why, even to get out in an overcast, sprayed sky, we are still getting, although we're getting aluminium and barium and all that shit, we're still getting the energy of the sun, okay, which is red light, which is what we need. Architectural glass now omits red light. Allegedly, according to Dr. Jack Kreush. So that means that even the weaponization is not just of our environment, it's of the materials that we use to build. So,
Wait, but you just said it emits red light, or do you mean blue
it
light?
prevents red light.
Oh,
So,
it
red light from
prevents red light.
traveling through the glass. Okay. So it blocks red light, and red light is what we need. Red light is the healing of everything. Red light, beyond all supplements, anything, you touch the earth and you're under red light, you are in supreme health. And that's why, here in Northern Ireland, we are great. In fact, I think 2023, we had 17 blue sky days, 17 in an entire year. And that is, for me, it's quite problematic also because of the spraying of this and all this. And my chest, I feel it. I feel it, right? I mean, my asthma was childhood asthma and
And the
young adult
sun can
asthma.
dry it all out for you
No,
too,
the
right?
sun, it's
Or
not the sun. The sun can help. It's the sun we need. It's the shit that they're spraying in the skies that we're inhaling that is the problem here, right? And of course, then that all goes into, where those heavy metals, they cause brain disease and dementia and Alzheimer's. And you can look at the increase in brain disease and Alzheimer's relative to geoengineering, which started in the 90s, right? It was initiated in the 70s, but it kicked off proper in the 90s, and allegedly, dementia and Alzheimer's kind of, increased with that. So we know, like, and there's a correlation there of sorts, perhaps, right? Now, so I think ETFE membranes is what I've been looking at recently. And you mentioned that in your email previously about AI, okay? And how AI is kind of like, I mean, AI isn't sentient, so I've no, there's nothing to be worried
I'm
about.
glad to hear that you're on board with that. I mean,
I'm
yeah.
in with AI. AI is
Oh
one of
yeah, me too. Yeah, no, I'm okay with that. But the
yeah.
fact that it's like people are just throwing words, attaching words without
Yeah.
really understanding what the word sentient means. You know,
Yes.
the
It can
human
think.
being has a
Just no feeling.
physical, etheric, astral, and
Yeah.
eye body.
Yeah.
We have a heart, you know, we have blood moving through us. AI does not have that. Okay. Yes, AI, a colleague of mine, Anemona, who we lead the VIP retreats together, she's been work, you know, having a conversation with AI, asking it questions about some things. And anyway, but and noticing that it can read fields. There's something about the electricity around us or something.
Yeah.
But okay, that's fine. Right, there's no, but it's just, it's, yeah, just okay, continue, please.
It can't be creative. It can't be creative. Anyway, so I think that using, I mean, I was working on an idea for a project I have, which is kind of like trying to price it, and then it's like it almost doesn't make sense to actually, for the client to build this project, right? So I'm like,
Okay.
what's the alternative here? And I was looking at the transparency. What would I build? And what would you want to build in an ideal world? What, and I looked at transparency. I looked at ETFE membranes, and then I was communicating with AI, and it gave me a whole breakdown of costs of suppliers of where you get. I mean, it's going to eliminate QSs.
And
AI.
did it help you a lot with that
Oh,
whole
it did.
process?
Because then it gives me a
Yeah.
process that I can speak to the client about and say, listen, this is what AI is telling us. This is where, I mean, it starts talking about where I can get concrete from locally to assist in the creation of this. And so
So that's a good
it's a
tool.
great thing to have.
Of
So it's
course.
your it's
Yeah.
just the extra minds in your studio that you can, you can talk. I
Yeah.
mean, that's
Well, it's
I,
a research library as well,
correct.
right?
That's all
Yeah.
it is. It's just,
Because it's
I
being
mean,
fed, right, with information by
yeah.
the
Although,
second.
yes, it supersedes Google, really, so Google is kind of gone. Like, it's my new
It
Google,
was
really.
down yesterday for a
Oh,
bit.
was it?
Did you notice that?
No, I
Yeah.
didn't. I don't
Okay.
really use Google,
Yeah,
but
I'm trying to move out of
what
it.
this made me realize is that AI is useful for those, kind of like for replacing consultants, dare I say, right? Not engineers and things like that, but just in terms of asking questions, right? It also assists in, I think it's going to replace planning, kind of, or it could streamline planning, and it could streamline the building controls. All of that. It can streamline our
Sure, yeah.
institution. It can
Yeah, we
arguably
want more ease. We want more flow.
right.
We don't want to be,
Correct. But then what that does, and because I've been thinking about this school of architecture that I want to kind of like manifest, I'm saying,
And
but
just before you begin with that, because I'm really interested in it, I want to make sure that we have enough time. I want to share some of your projects. I think some, of our listeners are curious about, okay, just seeing a window into some of the projects that you're working on.
okay.
So,
Give me 1 minute. Just give me 1 minute to say this. Schools of architecture. Well, first of all, what is architecture? Because architecture is now AI and an idea, right? And going back to Patrick Shoemaker, who in his essay talked about how architecture is dead in the schools of architecture. It is. It's teaching kids the wrong thing. And what we need to be teaching or trying to teach is how to create an idea. And how do you create an idea? By downloading it, by being totally connected in your center and receiving from universe. Because ideas
Yeah,
don't
when you mean by
appear.
downloading, you mean actually literally
Receiving.
connecting with the cosmos, connecting.
Correct. Because
Yeah.
that's where ideas come from. Ideas come from out there, not in here. And that becomes then the because then those great thinkers or those great kind of receivers of idea that isn't their idea, don't forget it's from universe, it's just part of universe. They can then create these wonderful expressions of what architecture can be without being told about a style, without being kind of pushed into a certain way of thinking about classical orders or necessarily. Of course, it's important to know all that stuff, but you need to be free of it. You need to know it to be free of it.
Absolutely.
You know, it's like learning to drive a car with two hands and then being free of it, and you can drive comfortably and confidently, like you can breathe, you know. So,
Yeah, that's absolutely beautiful, Robert, what you're saying there. Yeah, it's so important for these young architects to be able to know thyself, love
what did I say?
thyself,
Be discerning.
know thyself,
Oh,
love thyself,
love thyself.
connect with the universe.
Yeah.
Know when, and also to be able to tap their intuition and to
That's it.
understand the power, the beautiful power of their intuition, which
Correct.
is so much of what the Sacred Blueprint has taught me. And it's invaluable. And our imagination, which are actually slightly distinct from each other, but kind of fall into, they work together. And it's been killed. It's been absolutely killed. And now it's just this, and they're completely addicted to the computer and generating renders. And now it's the whole next level with AI, and it can get very dangerous. I started exploring AI with my architectural images, and I'm actually excited about where some of them will go to, because then I'm just not going to be slaving for hours and hours, in front of the computer and all that. But what I noticed, and there's two things I want to say, and then we can wrap up with some of your projects, is that there is also a danger of this instant gratification. It's kind of like a dopamine hit. So, and I experienced it full on. Like I started, experimenting with a new architectural image generator. And you're just kind of like, and it when the render or when the image is ready, it goes ding, right? So it's kind of like, I think people talked about that when email first came out. Like you get addicted to checking if there's a new email in your inbox, right? Or and so, but because these images get generated so fast, and then you're just like, oh wow. I mean, some of them are just like, whoa, that was totally off. I got to use like a different prompt or whatever, but when it start, when you're experimenting with it, you're just like, ah, is it ready? Ah, is it ready? And then it's like this expectation for it to be done fast as well, right? I'm okay. Is it fun? Literally, it takes 5 minutes for some of them to come through. So there's a danger there. And I think what the task of you and I as spirit architects, as architects who are really concerned, if I may be, speak on your behalf, we're concerned about the state of affairs in the world, concerned for the health of humanity, concerned for the health of this planet. I would just be, for the architects out there who are listening, just be very cautious and wary, and tread carefully on this path of AI. Yes, use it as a tool, but you could get addicted. You could really get addicted to that quick, fast thing. Because when you're drawing a plan, or when you're sketching an image, and there's some sketches that I think I know are digital, that you've done, but they're still sketch-like. Spirit moves through you when you're sketching. It literally moves through your body. The
That's
angels
important.
speak through
That's
you.
so important.
So important. And nothing else, no machine can capture that essence, can express that. And just such an important thing. And just to slow down, really slowing down to actually be more efficient, is my motto these days. How much slower can I go? It helps me to listen to my body, helps me listen to what's aligned, what's not aligned, right? Discernment, instead of just plowing through projects, right? It's like, oh, great. Now we can design Sarah and John's house in 10 minutes. Let's be careful, right? Let's be really careful about that. Yeah. And what you also said about, maybe that's, you know what, we can save that for another part, about it's not only about just copying the past architecture. This is really important. Like, what this is really, I feel like, one of my main investigation topics, exploration topics in this lifetime, is what are the new forms for humanity's unfoldment? And I am not a proponent of, people sometimes assume, because, I take people to Ephesus and I show a lot of ancient architecture, that it's like, oh, okay, let's build the temple, the new community center like that. No, that's not it. That's not it at all, actually, because we've evolved, and actually we've kind of assimilated the Greek temple within our bodies in a way already. That's done. Now we need to move on to something new, something totally new. And it's all not going to look the same for everyone.
Well, just on that, if you bring up that image of the model in the hand.
I just that image, if we that's just such a powerful, I'm just gonna go through, hold on. Where are we here? Oh, interesting. Does it? Oh, yes, good. Okay, I'm just gonna flip through. It's gonna be a quick.
If you just go to that image, the
Can we
model.
go? Do you want to go to the back one? This one?
No, the model. Well, that is a render of inside the model.
Yeah. All
So,
right.
okay. So I need to tell
I'm
you a
so
story.
happy you're bringing this one up right now.
Well, I'll bring this up and no, I think so. I'll share. Let me tell you the story of this, okay? I was after I did a project on that was televised, Your Homemade Perfect. It was actually you went through an image of it there. It was series one or series two, episode one. I think it was series one, episode one. It was in Stirling, okay? And it was a project where I talked about kind of like a new way of living, and the kitchen was then incorporated into the to kind of continue around as a datum into the room, and I talked about millimeter kind of variations between the stairs and and tying it all together in the dimension, right? I was in my studio, and I received a phone call from a gentleman that will remain nameless, and he asked me if I could come and meet him to fly to an airport, and his driver would pick me up. I mean, this is a guy who's very wealthy, and he was working with this here a global architect, and he asked me to critique the project that had been offered to him, right? Or that was under construction, okay? And I could see, sorry. So I get to see the pro obviously the drawings, and he said, "Can you have a look at it?" I said, "Listen, I'll go take it and I'll come back with my thoughts on it." And I said, I said, like, "What's your time frame?" He said, "Well, it was under construction, so every day it was costing them
I mean, my God, talk
tens
about
of
like,
thousands. It was a massive project." And so I said, "I'll be back in 2 weeks." And I went away to think about the project. And when I analyzed the drawings, I could see that it wasn't the hand of the architect who he had employed, because it was just a name now, the company. And I could see the errors in the plan. So it was a plan that had been
like
created by,
major coordination issues.
just spatial errors, right? Really, just kind of like, I mean, fundamentally, it was compromised. Okay, so I said, "Listen," and it was very ordered. Okay. And my work has always been kind of to break the formal, because I think we need to be living in a, in, you know, free of the formalist. The formalist is a control mechanism. You know, when you look at, you know, the architecture,
How can we break free
right?
of that?
You need to break free of it, and it's by breaking the form. So I then went away, and you know, for 2 weeks we worked and dedicated ourselves to this project, and it was a subterranean project, and this is a model of the subterranean element of it, okay, which then the slices were the courtyards in between it
Where
and
the
the light
light is
in,
streaming through, yeah.
right? And I mean, a wonderful man, and you know, really, I mean, you know, I've met him, you know, and this was pre-COVID and all of that, you know. Anyway, and so I, you know, I said, well, it was almost like, what would I do? You know, so I, obviously, money is no object, right? What would I do? And I then present this idea. So, and he was an art collector, and so this was a piece of art that was, you know, I was working on that I created specially. So I was looking at the work of, you know, for this project, I was looking at the work of Barbara Hepworth and, you know, contemporaries, you know, and yeah, so I came back with this proposal that I knew was
I'm
totally
good.
away from how he wanted, what he wanted, and how he thinks, because he wanted order and formality, you know. And I was saying, well, you know what, this is what I would do, and this is why. And so I presented this scheme, and this here's a 9 meter room. This was a kind of a, and where that horizontal light is, was a dining space. With natural light. I mean, it was a really interesting kind of brief. It was a fascinating brief, which I'm not getting into, because you know, quite involved, but also, you know, of a certain way of thinking, which was really interesting, you know. So one of the projects, so I presented the scheme to him, and what I had, I shared slides, but the slides that I shared with him were all of the natural environment. And after that presentation, he said, "You know, Robert, you're the first architect in my life," and he, you know, he was much older than I am. He was, you know, in his like later years. He said, "You're the first architect who hasn't shown me pictures of buildings, you know," and I showed him pictures of landscapes and rock formations and, you know, environments where we could recreate these environments in some way in a sheltered environment. So you actually, you know, you're recreating, you know, your influence or inspired by this, right? Anyway, it kind of like he said, "Right, can you take it to the next stage?" I said, "I'll be back in 2 weeks." Went away and came back with you know, drawings and plans, and you know, and there was a bigger team there then, and presented the scheme to you. And he absolutely, you know, he really kind of was fond of it. He really enjoyed it. However, he was working on this project and was already under construction, and he had spent how many millions on it already. And it'll be, you know, and I said, "Robert, I'll tell you what, I'm going to carry on this project, but I want you to look at another project, you know." And anyway, so, and then our, you know, our relationship evolved, but this was a project
Of it was like it
of
was kind of
that.
like, okay, well, a response.
It was
What do
instant.
you do in this
Yeah.
moment? How do you improve?
Downloaded, get the brief. I, you know, and I've been like an architect for a couple of decades, so I know, and I kind of like, I work in a way that is kind of like, I can easily, you know, kind of get to the idea and then start to explore the idea, you know. So that's our project there, and it was a wonderful project, you know, to work on.
Robert, are you open to me to sharing what I feel about this
Yeah,
project? Because
please.
it's something that I noticed when I first started following you on Instagram. And by the way, me saying that it's a response to a certain situation is actually not sufficient at all for what came through you here. It is extremely profound. The spaces that are being formed here. And they really do speak to the human being. And I want to emphasize that they speak to the human being. This is what I see. Of course, everyone else may see something different, whatever, but this is what I read in it as someone who is really tapped in, tuned in, and speaks with the nature spirits and speaks with the spirit of the land and understands the human energy body. And I feel like this is a seed for what is possible for the future architecture. And it's not to say that we haven't seen these kinds of forms before, like Alvar Aalto in Finland worked with similar forms, etc. But if we just look at what's here, just look at what's here, you're not, there's a balance between the amorphic, but also grounding energies, corner energies, anchoring energies. Because what I find is either there's this really uber organic, like extreme parametric, I don't even know if that's even used anymore in architecture. Maybe that's like old now, but super, super moving, too much movement, which actually makes you ill inside. So these are the kinds of things that we need to know and understand as architects. But then it's also not this extremely dead brutalist box with maybe just like one fissure of light, right, streaming through the space. It speaks to us. It has a voice. It has also a kind of metamorphic quality to it too. It grows, it transforms. It's a very profound, it's a being in itself.
Yeah, such, I mean, I recall taking my students, my master's students, to Berlin. I mentioned this before, maybe to you.
Yeah, I love Berlin. I lived there for some time. I did an internship there.
Right.
Yeah.
And we discovered a practice. We were in search of the non-orthogonal, and we discovered a practice called Balor and Balor, a husband-wife partnership of the time, I think 1970s, 80s. But they worked in social housing mostly, so they were, it was all about spatial quality and frugal architecture. But they kind of create really beautiful, interesting, broken form, but like not as you talk about, not like not
Yeah,
that you're kind of
not
years
extreme.
ago,
Yeah.
but just
Val,
very careful, like the work of Morales, for example,
Right. Miralles is a great one too. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
So yeah, so I'm as I think it, that is the architecture of living and of
Yeah.
life,
Yeah, life of life.
you
It 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 speaks, it breathes life, there's movement. And yet it grounds as well
know.
at the same time. It's almost very challenging to even bring words to it, isn't it? But we do need to be advocates for this kind of architecture.
Yeah, I'm still learning. I'm
Of
still
course,
we're still finding our
yes.
way. It's just our current. It's just
Yeah.
oh yeah.
And then being able to actually execute and build is a whole other level.
Oh,
Really
that
getting
yeah.
it built,
That's when you're
especially
planning.
during these very challenging times where everything is just off the roof.
That's when your planets
Price.
need to align. Because it's such a
Exactly.
process. And I guess in our next chat, I can talk about a current project that is on site and the
I would
challenge.
love that. Yeah, I would love that. I mean, if you do want to talk about any other images, please feel free. But if you do need to wrap up, if this feels complete, but there are a couple
Yeah.
of them in there that.
This is a good place to kind of pause, I think. And
Okay.
then, and then, in our next chat, I can share I would like to talk about competitions I've been working on, working or
Sure.
worked previously, but competitions that were not there to win the competition because I knew the idea wouldn't, but there to answer the question. So again, ideas. It's all about the
I love
idea.
that. I love that. Beautiful, beautiful. Well, Robert, it was great to have you on the show today.
Thank you. Lovely to see you again.
Great. And I'm excited for our part three. It's like
Yes.
this is going to be the saga.
Yeah.
A
And we can
saga
do it soon
unfolding.
enough. We can do it soon enough. I'm kind of, open to continue the
Fantastic.
conversation.
Great, great. So great to have you on the show. And everyone, thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the New Earth Architectress podcast. Connect with you next time. Looking forward to serving you and sharing what's possible when you bridge spirit with form in your architecture practice. All right, bye for now. Bye.
Thank you for tuning in to the New Earth Architectress. It's my intention to inspire more women architects and designers to come out of hiding and unleash their intuitive powers to lead a prospering design practice aligned with spirit and their divine calling while making a powerful impact on Earth. If you enjoyed this podcast, be sure to subscribe. Leave a 5-star review on iTunes and share this episode with women who you know are feeling the nudges to take the big leap and bridge spirit with design. You can find out more about me and the New Earth Architectress movement by visiting aisharosemelodyhassan.com. Until next time, Güle güle.